Hello, and welcome to Not For Nothing with Chris and Chris.
Hello.
Thanks for waiting around, everybody that missed us last week. You get the benefit having waited 2 weeks to hear Chris forget his headphones and have to do this on his iPhone.
Oh, janky style.
Now we're janky. So whatever, it's fine. The audio is gonna stink a little bit, but that's to be expected.
Once in a while, we can sort of mail this in, I guess, a little bit.
Once in a while. Weirdly, having the extra week, like I last week was a big week in sports for kind of, and then it's just like more to talk about, you know. Like you came with like a classic. Like here's what I got text in a long time.
It's only been a week, but it feels like we haven't talked in a month.
I know.
It feels like a really long time has passed. Like a lot has happened, and I mean, March Madness is starting.
Yeah,
like, there's all kinds of crazy shit, you know, is going on. NFL free agency, you know, I just Caitlin Clark is blowing up.
Yeah, it's a bit.
The Oscars.
The Oscars. Oh, happened. The Oscars. Can I tell you a quick anecdote about the Oscars? I tried to watch all the friggin' Oscar movies before the Oscars, and I left one out. I didn't watch the Emma Stone one, but I watched a lot of them, thankfully, because I was on airplanes, you know?
Sure, yeah, okay, makes sense, yeah.
So on my way back, I'd missed Oppenheimer before the Oscars, but it was on my plane, and I watched it, and then I really liked it. And I hate Christopher Nolan, but I really liked it. And I got home and I was like, Kristen, I watched Oppenheimer and I really liked it. And she was like, oh. And I was like, do you want to watch it? And she's like, yeah. So I watched it again. I'm the only person that has watched Oppenheimer twice in 2 days, except for like video editors. Like that is savage. 6 hours six of my 48 hours were spent with the Oppenheimer clan.
Next thing you know, you're going to watch Killers of the Flower Moon back.
No way. This ensemble cast just caught me off guard.
It's
Josh Hartnett, welcome back. Welcome back. I've always loved Josh Hartnett. Glad to see him back. What a amazing, amazing comeback. even though the world maybe didn't know he was gone.
Sure. Like him and what's the other guy just won an Oscar? Old Dudley Do-Right guy last year.
Oh, Short Round?
No. The Whale.
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser, yeah. Welcome back, you know, kind of. Two fine actors who I think have made a decision to go, I'm not just going to work for a living. I want to be a part of good movies.
Yeah. I was just shocked. I saw him. Brendan Fraser looks like trash, and Josh Hartnett looks more handsome, if that was even possible.
Yes. Yes.
He's like, all I did was pull my hair out of my eyes, and look at this. I'm more handsome, and I'm in my 40s. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon, playing Matt Damon, I loved it.
Probably the worst part of the whole movie for me.
Yeah, but because he was so Matt Damon. Yeah. But I was fine with it because, like, I was fine. I liked it. It was like because Jillian Welsh, whatever his name is, that guy who I haven't seen since 28 Days Later. I was like, oh, it's 28 Days Later guy. He's so in character. I'm like, it's nice to be like, oh, wow, we're not actually living in Oppenheimer town. There's just Matt Damon.
Yeah,
this is still a movie.
He pulled out the Daniel Day-Lewis, I think, on that role.
I don't know what Oppenheimer was like or not like, but whatever that skeleton was that he played, he was incredible. Ooh, he nailed incredible. It.
Mm-hmm,
and he was like, did you notice he's like always has a cigarette, but he never really smoked?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he was a smoker, but like, I don't know, man. It was that movie. I went in kicking and screaming.
Yep.
And within 10, I'd say 3 minutes of the movie, I was like, well, I love this movie.
Yeah. It was compelling as hell.
Yeah. And it's about science, which is so boring. And even like the Albert Einstein stuff was pretty good. Robert Downey Jr. can like go away again. Maybe someone should be like, hey, buddy, you want to try a little cocaine? Like, I'm out on him. And I love him. But like, dude, get out of my face. Like, I like.
It's probably my least favorite performance that he's done in a while now, you know, since his resurgence.
I mean,
like, I felt like he was doing sort of Matt Damon-ish too. Like, he was just kind of being himself.
Yeah.
He wasn't as charismatic or as like.
It was a good role for him because it was like you needed a villain, I guess. But.
Just not a villain, I don't think.
Yeah, he's just a smug guy. I don't think I've really liked Robert Downey Jr. since Less Than Zero, if I'm being honest. Or maybe the what was the one? The Wonder Boys. He was great in The Wonder Boys. I liked that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like him and the Douglas. You ever saw that?
Yeah, and it was one of my favorite movies. But that was what's his name? It was Michael Douglas and the kid though.
Yeah, dude.
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. is definitely in that movie.
I can't remember. Yeah, that's crazy. All right.
And then I think my favorite actor right now in the whole world is Rami Malek. Rami Malek. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. I never saw the Queen movie, but I love Mr. Robot. And I was like, oh man, they're just giving him some window dressing. They're just like, let's just put this Oscar guy in this movie.
Yeah.
And he just bides his time. And in the third hour, just closes. Just takes over a scene so understated beautifully. Yeah. I was like, hey, Robert Downey Jr., take a page out of the Less is More book of Rami Malek.
Plus, I think Emily Blunt was the same thing, where it was like, all right, she's just playing his wife, she's a filler, all these spots, and then at the end, she had this huge, like, great scene.
She drove me fucking crazy, that whole movie, and then the end, I was like, fine. She's great once she was, like, in the black and white scenes, great. For those who haven't watched this movie, I just say, watch it. And for those that don't think they'll like it, you will like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan is always trying to fuck with you.
But not this one.
I'm like, it's like a multi-million dollar troll, and people, you know what I mean?
yeah.
And I'm like,
I love it.
And I was ready to just be like, oh, we're gonna watch this movie backwards and forwards and upside down, and who did what? And I don't know. And instead, it was just like a biopic. I was like,
Oppenheimer went back in time.
Exactly.
Destroyed the.
Oppenheimer is time. Anyway, good one.
Yeah.
I didn't see the Killer Moon one. I don't think I'm probably done watching the Oscar movie. I'll watch the Emma Stone one, but I did pretty good. I got like 8 of them under my belt, which is really good. Anatomy of a Fall, also very good. Very good. They're never going to give awards to people that don't speak English though.
Sure. What about the controversy one now, where the guy won, and he did the whole Israel speech or something anti. It was the one where the Germans were. It's like the German couple that's outside of the wall of the concentration camp.
Oh yes, yes, yeah. That movie's rough. I didn't know that that one or that anyone had done any like political.
Yeah.
Speech.
Did you watch that though? Did you
the Oscars? That one?
No.
Oh yeah,
movie.
I watched that movie. It's brutal. It's brutal. It's brutal. That's not like I don't go in for movies that like I like uncomfortable content. I'm happy to watch a movie, but I shy away from like things that I know are gonna make me sad. That's why I'm not watching the Killer Moon movie. Like Killer whatever the fuck it is. Flower Moons. Like I don't. I know that sounds very glib, but like especially if it's historical and I know it's bad news. I'm really The A bomb, no biggie. But I draw the line.
You can tell when the movie's like it's very heavy and overly heavy, or like you know, I don't want to say heavy handed, but like it's just they really lean into it. And like Oppenheimer, they were sort of like, all right, we're gonna pull back a little bit from this and not make this so you know just awful. Obviously,
yeah.
And it's just you know it's just a different. Style perspective that they want to present or whatever, and that's fine. And I appreciate movies that they when they do that kind of stuff too, where you're just like, oh, this is fucking deep and dark, and you're like, I don't why am I sitting here for 2 hours watching this? But it's also like really good though.
Yeah. But you're like, I hate those movies where you're like, it's over and you're like, I'm so glad I saw that. And you're like, no intention of watching it ever again. Like ever. The one exception is Syriana. Did you ever see that movie with the great George Clooney?
Yeah.
I watched that movie like so many times. I was like, I don't know anything about this, but these actors are so good. Like Jeffrey Wright, like everyone's just so fantastic in that movie. But outside of that, I can't really. I'm a chicken.
Let me. All right. So I want to. There's two little things I want to post Oscars because we didn't talk about this last week and stuff.
Let's do it.
Just observations. One, and I think this one's pretty obvious because everyone's probably talking about it or have been talking about it, is just stop giving old people.
Giving old people what?
Having the old actors, the old people present the categories.
I literally didn't watch the Oscars, so I don't know.
Like I'm surprised you didn't see like the clip of this, but like fucking Al Pacino was just like, where am I? Here's the winner.
And the next winner, Charlie.
I see.
If I don't win an award, I'll take a flamethrower to this place. Hoo-ah.
It was just like he's totally the guy who they're like, hey, let's have him present the best picture, you know, award. And then they're like, hey, here's the script. Here's what we want you to like say. And he's like, oh, I'll do it myself. I'll go off script. I know what to say. And then he just
gibberish.
It's gibberish.
This is one of those weird phenomenon, like where people reach out to me anytime Nicolas Cage does anything. And so I knew that was happening because Nicolas Cage apparently presented something.
Yeah.
And I get like 27 texts about it. Did you see Nicolas? Like everyone's like, so I guess that makes me a Nicolas Cage fan. It's like they're like Phil Collins and Nicolas Cage. If anything happens with those two people, I am alerted. Like it's like I have a Google alert on it, but I don't have a Google alert. It's just I have like friends that are like,
friends Google alert. The Cage thing was all right. It was kind of cool. Whatever, it was fine.
What's the other thing that grinds your gears?
There literally needs to be an Oscars for stunt people. At least the choreography or something of stunt work.
Yeah, that's dumb that there isn't.
I can't believe they don't have this. Like, and maybe they do, and they just don't show it. I didn't look it up, and you know, it's like one of those things. But I think that'd be cool. You know, like you show the video, whatever stunt like you know is up for an award,
or that.
You know,
the
coordinator or whoever it is. Like that would it's like having the music live performance on there. Like the music, it'll add a little more something to the. To the actual show itself, I think. I think it would get people kind of excited and hyped up. People would be yelling and screaming and clapping for that. Yeah,
especially
stuff.
Like now with movies, like you really pay attention to stunts. I, having worked with an actual movie stunt coordinator person, it would be very fun because, like, if this guy Judd, who he did the stunts for the movie thing that I worked on, and I was looking at his resume. He's in like Black Panther and what was the one fucking. What's Mad Max? The Mad Max with Charlize Theron. He was in.
And that's just nuts
stunts. I mean, those are just people just jumping off of bikes and cars onto other cars. Like,
right. But that shit's impressive as hell, man. Like, agreed. Those guys don't.
And effects, I think that because the Oscars are really, like, nerd driven. Like, if you really think about it, like, technical, like, audio, nerds. Like, the acting is nerdy. It's all nerds. It's nerds for nerds. Like we put them on a pedestal, but like ultimately this is like nerds, like visual effects, nerds, composition of music, nerds, story writing or screenwriting, nerds.
Yeah.
Is it just nerds for nerds? So if you throw in like a bro category, people's heads might explode. They're like, whoa. What school did he go to? No school. He didn't pay for it. He didn't go up through the ranks. He didn't come up through the fucking mail room. You know?
Valley.
He didn't have to learn. Academy he didn't have to learn through the fucking Berkeley, blah, blah. No. They'll never do it.
I know. It's a shame, though, but because those people are so underappreciated.
They're like, you're lucky we let hair and makeup in this fucking category.
Yeah, right? Basically, right?
Yeah. They like it's did Maestro win for hair and makeup? No.
Fuck no, it didn't. It didn't win shit.
Man, that nose was legit. Okay. Well, I and Barbie didn't win shit either, except for like, what's her face? Billie Eilish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, we really covered a lot of Oscars. Oscar ground. I, Chris, was not watching the Oscars, though I was in Los Angeles. I went to the Lakers game that night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I went and saw the Los Angeles Lakers. The first time I've ever been to crypto as a fan of basketball. and I have a couple quick takeaways I wanted to tell you, all right, if you don't mind. I can do this. It's like a pros and cons list, all right? So the Lakers experience. I have seen LeBron before, like in a preseason game, but never seen him at a Lakers game. I'm going to start with the pros, okay? LeBron was a game time decision. He hadn't played the game before, so it was not a guarantee he was going to play. And as they're doing warm-ups, he's not out there, so it's like, oh, LeBron's not playing. The horn blows for the end of warm-ups, and out runs LeBron from the tunnel, and the place goes fucking nuts. And you're just like, this, and I went nuts. Like, it was like, I was like, this guy just fucking plays, like, he plays it so well. Like, it was fantastic. Watching LeBron was a surprise delight for me. I was really... at home where everyone's like on his side, you know, it's like a different thing. And it like makes, he's never leaving Los Angeles. Like he's never going to, you know what I mean? Like it was, it was truly impressive. Yeah. I mean, he played okay, but like, it's fun to watch like how he's like kind of evolved his game a little bit. The other thing I found surprising that I really enjoyed about the Lakers is D'Lo. Like, that guy's just fun. Like, he's on the perfect team, which is weird because this is the team that got rid of him. But, like, he just does his thing, and he's out there, like, he's having fun. Like, he's laughing. That guy has, like, figured out life. Like, and all people do is talk shit on him, and all he does is go out there and play his game and make his millions. And it's like... I was like, I just really like, I was really settled into D'Lo. I'm a fan.
D'Lo, he's fun. He's fun to watch. I would never want him on my team.
I disagree. I think he's a chemistry guy. I think there's a place for D'Lo. I have a feeling D'Lo's going to be in the league for a very long time.
I think he'll be in the league for a very long time, but no one's trading for him. Nobody's asking. For like, hey, Lakers, we'll trade you whoever.
No. There's the price tag. He's been it's grossly misreported. Like he's not the player. He's not the level of player that I think his salary says. You know, and so he always gets lost in the jumble of like, well, it's D'Lo and a first and a a pick swap or whatever. Yeah. It's like no. It's just an overpaid essentially role player. Who I think is going to break, if he hasn't already, the Lakers' single season record for threes.
I think he just did that.
So good for him.
I think he'll become like sort of the next kind of like Jamal Crawford, just like the ultimate like six man kind of guy. Yeah, you know, like he's not going to play any defense. He's all offense. Some nights like, he'll get hot and he'll can carry the Lou team. Williams. Other nights you're just like, where the hell is he?
So I like this guy. And then the other thing I liked was the Lakers game, the production is fantastic. Like, first of all, there's no fucking crowd, like there's no crazy lines for food or anything like everything is like chill. The fans are pretty intelligent, though kind of the worst. But the production, they did this like amazing projection screen thing that a cloth dropped and then they projected from the inside and then they did a kabuki drop and then dancers. Like it was dope. Like to get you into the game. And then the Lakers won and they fucking dropped streamers, which is like, I've never been to a game that they drop streamers, just a regular season streamer drop and Randy Newman. We love LA. And I was like, fuck yes. Like, I'm so glad the Lakers won. Cause I wanted, that was a fun to experience like a Lakers win.
Right. I mean, it goes back to, I think, the Jerry Buss days. Like, they knew how to entertain you, right? I mean, they were
still there. It's still, like, right, that exactly. still exists.
They've, Right. And I don't think anywhere else has, they've tried to copy it and they've tried to duplicate it or whatever. And it's like, you just can't. Like, nope.
That's
there's
a
something
good,
to be said for the original.
That's a good fucking arena for basketball. I got to say, like,
yeah,
I think, yeah, I fucking thoroughly enjoyed
besides
myself.
The name.
I don't give a shit about that. Staples? Fucking Staples is garbage. You ever been into a Staples? Like, everyone's so fucking, oh, it should be the Staples Center. And it's like,
no.
The Staples are a miserable place on earth. Like, crypto, mm-hmm. at least, like, it sounds kind of cool. I don't give a shit.
Does it? It doesn't sound cool.
I don't know. I'm fine with it. People just get stuck in their ways. The other big takeaway, this is not Lakers specific, is like, ER... Anthony Edwards, like,
oh my God.
I was with somebody who like watches basketball, but had never, didn't really know a lot about like the current league and was just like immediately turned on by him, like on, mm-hmm. on their own, was just like that guy. And I was like, yep, that guy. Yep. Like, he's like Wu-Tang Clan. He's for everybody. You know, like
mm-hmm.
he's just,
mm-hmm.
it's magnetic. It's truly magnetic. And honestly, like, It was a kind of a cool night because like Anthony Davis did his like thing, you know, he was like 20-20, like everybody did the thing that they're supposed to do, which was like,
yeah,
perfect. Like LeBron did his thing, Anthony Davis did his thing, D'Lo did his thing, Anthony Edwards did his thing. Like it was like, and then here's a quick con for you. Austin Reeves fucking sucks. Like I had forgotten. College Austin Reeves, I've forgotten how much I hated that guy because everyone was like, because last year he had such a like an impact and like it was like, oh, he's great and he team player and whatever. He's not. He's fucking that angry white guy, like college player. Like he sucks so much to watch. He's such a bitch. He bitches all the time. He like, you can tell when he's gonna just dribble up and shoot. Like he's not that good. I think he's been like over exaggerated as a worthwhile player. I mean, he's worthwhile. He'll be in the league forever. But like, I really dislike that guy.
He's inflamed because he's playing with LeBron and the Lakers. It's like the guys who play for like the Cowboys or the Yankees. You know, like you just everyone he gets a little too hyped up. I will never board the Austin Reeves trains. Last year I thought it was an aberration. I thought it's fucking bullshit. Like, it's fine, he's a decent player, but so is, like, fucking Grayson Allen and a couple other dudes,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
around the league, and Dellavedova, and, like, those guys had their moments and stuff. Like, I don't know if this is sustainable or not.
I do not
I would have traded. I would have traded him last year for a fucking haul.
100%. 100%. They drank the Kool-Aid. That's a miss on a general manager. Like, you've got to, like... Strike
maybe
while the iron's
hot. Maybe he becomes a great like player, all star. I just can't.
Hear. No way. No way.
Yeah.
He just doesn't play off ball.
I refuse to believe it.
So yeah, dislike. That's a con. That's a big con. Another con. Lakers game in LA in general is like the Kobe love is so inflated. Ugh. His fucking face is on every goddamn building. And you walk in and everyone's taking pictures with the Kobe statue. Meanwhile, there's Kareem right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's Magic right there. There's fucking mm-hmm. Jerry West or some other white guy. I don't know which one. but no one gives a fuck. No one's taking a picture with Kareem's fucking statue. Mm-hmm. They're all surrounding Kobe. Everything inside are Kobe. They're still selling Kobe jerseys. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, if it was like, I don't know, Orlando, sure. Be fucking Kobe, like, fascinated. But, like, Kobe's, like, nothing, in my mind, compared to, like, the Laker greats.
No.
He just isn't.
No.
And it's just recency bias and the fact that he died.
Yep.
But, you know, he kind of raped. And he was kind of an asshole.
Kind of.
And everybody thinks, like, it's just this, it's this, it's a, it's... Michael Jackson on steroids. It's like, I do not like that part of it. So like, to me, like Lakers fans, the ones that like are smart are also like, they're smart to the point of Kobe and then they just lose their mind. And I don't, it's bonkers. So there's that, right? And in that is also like, the other cons were these gigantic, horrible people that sat in front of me. Like, five of the fattest people I've ever seen. Like,
how far up were you?
In Los Angeles. Pretty far up.
Yeah.
I was like 13th row. I don't know how they fit into their seats. And they had to, like, the one woman had to rest her hands atop her stomach and breast to the point where it was, like, almost eye level. And for some reason, they, anytime I said anything, and I was not being, like, RJ at a fucking Sixers game. I was rooting for both teams. Like, I was just there for basketball. And yeah. I was talking to the guy next to me who was, like a pretty smart guy. And we were just kind of going back and forth. He dropped some knowledge on me. It was, like, really, like, a good Laker fan. And yet every time I opened my mouth, the fucking clumps would all in unison turn around and give me the fucking shit stare. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was like that same kind of shit you get at fucking MSG. And I don't know what it is with, like, the one percenters of the NBA fan group. The Knicks fans and the Lakers fans that are like, you were not allowed to talk at a game. Like, we come here to be quiet. Like, the fuck? I was like, and then they fucking bounced before the end of the game, grandfather Clump just, like, rolls out of his chair, just pours himself out of his chair and just bounces on him. And, like, then they all kind of, like, go, like, oh, Grandpa Clump left. Like, just no words. Like, they were just miserable people. All going to die within the next 3 years. All of them. They were the fucking worst. So, to those fucking people, go fuck yourself. But the rest of the experience was fantastic. So, I'd say go do that. Go do a Lakers game if you haven't in your life.
All right.
It's worth it.
Great. Yeah.
Just don't sit. Don't sit behind the clumps. Behind the clumps, man. They're fucking mean. They're not like TV. They're not like Hercules, Hercules. They're very mean. Very mean people.
All right. What else you got?
I mean, you've got stuff. You got stuff. This is not sports related. We might go long here. The Royal Conspiracy.
I don't know if you've been following this or even paying attention to this thing, but it is the conspiracy to end all conspiracy. So, I am so into this.
Can you set it up for me? Because I've seen a couple of things, and like I've tried to like.
This is going to be so hard. We could do a whole show, I think, on this.
Well, just sum it up. Kate Middleton's dead.
Right? Kate Middleton So she's dead. She's gone. She hasn't been heard of in like 5 months.
But didn't she have like stomach surgery or something?
She had like abdominal surgery, apparently. But then like no one has seen or heard from her at all. And then they keep like, and then the Royal Palace keeps sending out these like social media posts with like Photoshop pictures of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one that just came out actually last week that she was like, oh, she was at the farmer's market, like with her husband. And they were like, someone happened to have video of it of a guy sitting in a car who got video of them walking through the parking lot. And everyone's like, that's not them at all. It's not even close to them. But then, so there's this whole, now if you go deeper, there's this whole thing about how her and her husband, like they have separated and broken up, and he's having an affair with like her former best friend, and they have fathered, he's fathered her children or something.
Stop.
And she's married to like a 65-year-old man who's like, they're not Duchess and whatever, but they have some sort of one of those stupid titles of like, they're sort of a kin relationship.
Wait, so
to the royal family,
this prince, whichever is he the William?
Yeah. What's the other guy?
He's just following in his father's footsteps.
Totally. Yes.
Wow.
And people are drawing connections though between her now and Princess Diana, and they're using the same language to make it seem like she's the crazy one. Like the media is like she's like the crazy one, and all these things. And it's almost like word for word. People were like pulling old like quotes and stuff from articles and stuff about how people were like sort of denouncing Diana. And they're using, it's literally verbatim. And so now they're like, they figured like this is all like a, this is setting her up to like sort of push her to the side because William's not happy with her anymore. And it's like, oh, it's just, it's incredible because they're like, and the woman he's potentially having an affair with, they're calling her like the 10 cent knockoff of Kate Middleton because she kind of looks like her, but a little like worse for the wear kind of thing, you know? And they're like, it's such a total like British thing to do. It's so.
I didn't know any of this affair stuff. I thought she was just dead. That's what I.
Yeah,
of course.
So that's what some people think, she's dead.
I like to go with dead. I think it's way funnier.
I love it. Yeah, but there's this whole other, like, the deeper you go, the greater it gets, and it literally goes off the fucking wall.
I never saw this coming. I never saw you being one of these like OK magazine people. Like,
I don't know. I agree. Like, I don't know how this is like, it's so appealing to me though. This is because it's so outrageous and so stupid. And it's all this fucking, you know, the Royal British bucket fucks.
Yeah. I love it.
Who just create all this and they can't get out of their own way. Like, they literally posted a Photoshop of her and her kids for like Mother's Day.
Yeah. That's the one that like people
totally
are
Photoshopped.
Like, that's
and,
the one that people are like, TikTok's
say, like,
trying to,
she's the one who Photoshopped it.
TikTok's trying to like do like a whole, here's where those photos came from and here's where like that those pictures were taken, but then people are like, oh, but the teeth on the kids are different, and like and it's like it's just like, you're right, like the social media part of this is like, they should, I don't, who's running see, things, but right now, like now that the Queen's gone, like who's keeping tabs on like how people act? There's no matriarch, you know,
and the king is fucking, he's dying,
he's fucked. And he's married to fucking Lyle Elzado. Like, what? Like, what? What's even?
Shit! Oh man. Oh, this is crazy. This is why you're perfect for this stuff. Because you could just come up with some crazy shit and go with it, run with it. Oh, it's great.
Anyway.
There's one other thing I want to get to here on this, dude, because there's this whole other, like,
oh, I'm not stopping subsection. You. I'm not stopping you. You keep going. Let's go.
There's this whole other subsection about how apparently William, right? That's his name, William?
The bald one.
Like, yeah, the bald one.
Yeah.
Who's married to Kate.
Yeah.
I love how we know her name perfectly, but we don't have any fucking idea what his name is.
Yeah, I never can keep up.
No, but so apparently there's this whole other subsection conspiracy thing that he likes to be pegged.
Oh, give me a break.
Sexually.
Give me a break. And, like, what are we talking? Like,
won't do that.
Who on earth would, who, there? That is so stupid. That's so like, that, like,
there's literally like articles, like there's like British articles who are like, they've like gone into this and like tied like strings together, like whatever, like
how, you know, on like, earth would anyone know that? How on earth could anyone know that? Like, there's no way. Like, there's no way Prince William can't go on like OnlyFans. Like, there is no burner strong enough for someone like that. Like, he doesn't get to watch porn. So how on earth would anyone even know like what he's into like sexually? Like,
probably because of all the fucking the staff and the maids and the butlers or whatever, and that they know all the fucking dirty shit.
I don't think they do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You leave a fucking dildo lying around on an accident or something, and some they have to fucking clean that up, and all of a sudden, like, they hear things around the corner. I bet you
you're literally turning this into Downton Abbey. I love it. It's not. But like a current Downton Abbey where they're like, oh, mummy, I found your strap on. And she's like, I don't ever use that. Prince William keeps telling me to try it on and I do not like it.
You're fired.
I've got to go to the farmer's market. Like, what are we talking about?
It's been great, man. I don't know why I got into this. Well, stay on it.
We need a weekly update. Funny. You Maybe. Will be our royal correspondent. I want this job for you. Yes. Yes. But you have to talk like that guy, Piers Noslin or whatever his name is. Niles Pearson. Brosnan? Piers Brosnan, whatever. The guy that Nigel, I don't know. Anyway, talk like him.
Yeah. Anyway, so
Nigel Dick.
just, I don't know. There's just so many layers to this thing and so many fucking.
Next week we're doing a fucking, I'm producing a true Queen's Corner or whatever you want to call it. Tea for the Tillerman, whatever. Tea time with Chris. We're doing a fucking rap. You need to give me an update. Like this is the only thing I care about. I will even do an intro song for you. I've got one in mind. So like this is got to be a weekly thing until it's resolved. And then even if it's resolved, I want
it's
more.
It's never going to be resolved.
I want more. I want you to just know everything about this royal family.
I don't know. I don't know if I have the staying power for it.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Chris, you could do it. You could do it.
Well, I'll keep on it. I just don't know if we're going to have as good of stuff like consistently coming out.
Some weeks it'll be a little slow. Some weeks it'll be big news. Either way, this is
perfect. So the buildup here now though is apparently she's going to make her triumphant return like on Easter, like fucking Jesus. Apparently.
Ooh, that's
so
a good idea.
I guess you know, stay tuned for that. We'll
Wait,
see
did
what
Jesus come
week.
Back on Easter, or did Jesus disappear on Easter?
I
think he disappears on Easter and then he comes back on Good Friday.
Something like that.
Yeah. Every year I look this up.
Do you?
Yeah, because I never remember. And I'm always like, huh? And people are like, happy Easter. And I'm like, I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
I never know the rules. This, like, basically, everything Jesus related, from the beginning of Lent till Easter, I do not understand what anyone's doing, and I feel a little bit confused by it. But I'm going to learn more. And if she comes back on Easter, great. Post-op's or observations. I didn't realize you even had that in your notes. That's wonderful. Can I talk about quickly? I seen your thing. 311 Day, Tiny Desk Concert.
Chris, we missed 311 Day last week.
I didn't miss it.
We didn't do a show. We usually try to do a show on 311.
I know. And now 311 is very popular. 112 is really missing the boat on 112 Day. I hope they finally fucking recognize like this.
Someone's got to start doing that.
Why can't they just so the problem is like 311. Did you work Amsterdam?
Yes.
Yeah. So 311 was my band on Amsterdam. Like the mashup festival that like Chris and I worked on way back in the day.
Who were they mashed up with?
So they were mashed up with Wyclef. This is the premise of the entire festival was like, it was when mashups were really big, I guess in the Napster era. So they were like doing a band would play and another band would play and then they'd do their mashup song.
It was like two different genres of music would come together. It was like the Red Hot Chili Peppers performed with Snoop.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the headliner.
Daddy Yankee played with Fat Joe.
Which is not cross genre.
Not really, not well enough. But it was a very typical Chris Wangro production where he's like, I don't know how to do hip hop, so let's just or whatever this Puerto Rican dude does. That was my Fat Joe. I hate Fat Joe ever since from that fucking show. But when I look at it, I'm like, I realize how I fucked up. Which is pretty funny. But anyway, that's for another day. If I haven't already told that story, Bootsy Collins was the host of the event, which was kind of cool. I think Garbage played with someone. I can't
Maybe.
Remember. Who Garbage
I,
played
yeah,
with.
I don't remember who all the.
So anyway, 311. This is like very like the like early 2000s. 311 is not popular, right?
Yeah. It was 2020. It was 2005.
So 311 rolls in buses.
They weren't like at their height of their peak yet.
They weren't, but they were still just a functioning business band, and their bus had a recording studio on it. They just knew that if they toured, they'd make money. They have fans everywhere, and they did really well with their money. The lead singer bought an island. Like they were smart, and they never like broke up. Like they all stayed together because they knew their limitations. They all had like separate places on these buses. They had a recording studio, so they never had to go sit in a studio. If they had a song, they kept worked it out. And I remember Wyclef, they were like, just bring Wyclef to our bus and we'll figure out the song. Because none of these people had met before.
Yeah.
Why would you? And I remember I brought Wyclef on the bus and he was just like, holy fuck. Like, this is how you do it. And they all just sat in the studio, worked out their song. And then then they got on stage and they were just like fucking boom, 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 boom. And I was like, that is fucking a business. Fast forward 20 years, they're like, now people are kind of like, they're not the butt of the joke anymore. Mm-hmm. They have huge loyal fans. 311 Day, they do like 3 days in Vegas with like meet and greets. Like they are fucking tight and they're all millionaires. 112 only fight. They do is fight. They never play together. So 112 Day is just going to be Slim and like maybe one other guy. And so it's like, it will never really work. Like we can do it as a fan, but like, they're never going to do a Tiny Desk concert because like they hate each other.
Yeah. And that's which is a shame because they would probably kill it as a Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah. Dude, my brain's so weird. The other day I saw like a High Five video. Remember High Five? That band?
Yeah, I remember the name.
They did the Kissing Game song. I like the way you kiss me while we're playing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that song,
yeah.
That band, the main guy, Tony Thompson, was like, I don't want to be in this band after their hits. And I'll do a solo record, which turned out to be pretty good. And then he was like, but I want to be High Five. But he never renewed the patent. And so then the other guys in the band were like, I want to be High Five. And then at one point there were three High Fives. And like, who's going to go see like the other guys in High Five? So then they all start suing each other, right? And like, they don't have money to do any of this. As it turns out, Tony Thompson is addicted to huffing Freon. And one day the police find him just next to a fucking AC unit, dead.
Jesus.
Yeah. Fucking weird thing, right? Like, what a weird fact. I was just on my phone. I was like, God damn, this is a tragic story. The band continues their lawsuit for 2 years after he's dead. The lawyers still want them. Like, they're still fighting it. He's dead. The fucking lawsuit was settled in, like, 2009. He died in 2007. Like, that shit is fucking crazy to me. And there is, like, barely any... like R&B bands that have a better story than that. Like they all do that. Like they all have that. Maybe not that tragic, but there's no 311s out there in the R&B world. Like 311 was just like, we're from Omaha. We hate each other.
Except for the one guy, Boyz II Men kind of like just stuck together a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah. But that guy kind of split. He was like, fuck.
Right. The one guy did. Yeah.
So
there's gotta be a few other ones that, well, I just watched a couple clips of the Tiny Desk, the 311 Tiny Desk concert, and I was like, I don't even know if these are still like the original band members. I literally read below. I think it said something in the comments. It was like they've been together for 30 years or something. Yeah. I was like, holy shit! Like R&B groups and stuff like that. They just, you know, it's like the old like Temptations where it's like, or like Earth, Wind & Fire where it's like, it's none of the original members anymore.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like they figured out the business of being in a band. Like they don't have to like each other. They just have to figure out like how to like coexist.
Right.
And treat it like a business.
Yeah.
And it works. Right. I think Pearl Jam does a similar thing, you know, although they've kicked some dudes out. Like, but they have like a bass player called Monkey, right? Is that guy's name? And they're just like, they're like, whatever, Monkey's just Monkey, and it doesn't matter. We're just 311 is 311 all the way through, and it's impressive, man. It's impressive.
It kind of is. I almost kind of enjoyed them.
Oh, I love
watching
them.
as 40-year-old men.
I've always liked them. I've never wavered. Jim Kelly, anytime 311 does anything or comes on the radio, he sends me a text. Like he knows I love 311. Unabashedly.
So it's Nick Cage. It's Phil Collins, 311. It's like your
kinda, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've never fucking wavered on 311. Like I'd never owned one of their records, but they just don't piss me off the way they piss everyone else off. Like I'm just
I can coexist with them. This is all right. This is like kind of a jam, you know, but it's like,
I've never seen them. Except for Amsterdam.
I'm not spending any money on them ever.
No, but I have a terrible tattoo that looks like a three. That's not a three. And I've always wanted to turn it into a terrible 311 tattoo.
Just, You should. You definitely should.
It would just be too funny to just be like, here's my 311 tattoo. And people are like, what's their songs? And I'm like, hama nami nami down, down, down. Like, that's it. Yeah, that's what totally. I know. Quick note on the NCAA tournament. I'm really disappointed. Like, I don't like the play-in. I don't like it. And if they have to have it, it should not be teams that have won their conference tournaments that have to play in. Like, why does the
big, be all the at-large
Montana State University has to play Grambling and then they lose in overtime? They don't get to be in the tournament, but they won their conference.
Like, yes, it's like so that, fucking like that, bullshit.
That doesn't make sense to me. It's like it should be like the play-in should be for
their way into the tournament.
100%. Why the fuck does Wisconsin, who's like middled around the Big Ten all season, why don't they have to do a play-in? Like the NCAA yet again is fucked. But like that to me makes no sense. Who decided like, oh, the Big Sky winner has to do a play-in after that? They don't even get a real tournament game. Like that shit. So
I'm tired of it. I'm over it. It's bullshit. I was thinking, I literally had that same thing in my notes. Like I don't want to watch fucking because there's also the discussion about like them expanding to 80, and I think it's gaining traction. It's like I don't want to watch all these middle of the road terrible teams. It also just because causes, they play in major conference.
It also just causes like these are college players. They're gonna get tired. It causes this like randomness, which I think is what they want. They want one seed. They want the upsets. They want the excitement, but that takes away the integrity of a tournament. And honestly, like the integrity of the tournament is bullshit because like teams like Seton Hall, who should have been in, aren't. You know, like there's.
I mean, like honestly, I'd rather put Indiana State in than fucking Seton Hall or Virginia or Colorado State.
I put both those teams in. I put Indiana State and Seton Hall in. Like I just think they've lost the NCAA has completely lost their way.
The fucking commissioner of the fucking SEC and I think some other people too are actually trying to do away with these mid-major teams in the tournament. They want the big Power Five conferences basically more representative in the tournament because they think that'll make them more money.
It'll happen.
It's the antithesis of the whole point of the tournament.
It will happen. I promise you it will happen.
I totally will.
So you know what? You know what? Then why don't they fucking reinvent the NIT and just make that the fucking mid-majors and the lower teams?
Don't do that.
I don't give a fuck. You know how many college basketball games I watched this year? One. Zero. I watched like Utah on accident. I can't remember. And oh, no, it's not true. I watched Ohio State beat Purdue. Which makes me just think Purdue sucks because Ohio State won with like an interim coach and that big dude's not that good. Do you have any predictions? Who do you have? Have you done a bracket? Who do you think's going to win?
Fuck no. I don't do brackets anymore. I could care fucking less. I haven't watched any games either.
The only thing,
if you want any sort of advice on filling out a bracket or thing, there's this one thing. It's almost tried and true every fucking year since 2002. There's a guy. Ken Pomeroy or something is his name. He came up with this sort of statistical analysis, analytics, whatever this thing. He has a whole website himself, and it's called Ken Pom Ranking.
Yeah,
like CBS will use it. I think ESPN maybe uses it or not. I don't know. But he has figured out since 2002, champion once been in the top 25 in offensive and defensive efficiency. Which is something, I don't know if it's a stat he ended up creating and whatever, like years ago. But, and there's like eight teams who basically are both in top 10 offensively and defensively. And if you just put all eight of those, what is it, eight, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, yeah, eight teams. You put all eight of those teams as far as they can potentially go in the tournament, you're going to do really well at that.
Wow. Interesting. I completely zoned out while you were saying that because that's how boring I find this shit.
Totally.
I fill out one turn. I've done the same bracket with the same dudes every year. I filled out theirs. I did that one. I can't even remember who I ended up with, who the winner is. But what I found super fun, probably, was. Kristen, my wife, she's like in a hospital. They're like, do the bracket. And she's never done a bracket. She can't even use the app, right? She doesn't even know how to fill, like, what's even happening. So I was like, all right, let me just read them to you, and you tell me which team you like. And so I just would be like, blank versus blank. And she'd be like, that. Blank versus blank, that. Like, and so she's going off of, like, what, how she feels about these colleges as colleges, mm-hmm. because she's, like, an mm-hmm. academic. So she's really high on Creighton. She loves Washington State for you. She's really, and I looked at it at the end of the day, and it's like, I'm like, and then she takes Duke to win it. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, this is like not the worst bracket I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, so totally. The upsets were super weird, but I'm like, why not? They always are kind of super weird. And she didn't take any like dumb teams, but she had I gave her no like number versus number, like ranking versus ranking. It was just college versus college. And it was pretty, I will be interested to know where it ends up, because it's much of a guess as I don't know anything about college basketball.
100%. I heard something, I think it was advertising. I was listening to the radio or something the other day, sports radio. And, I think someone came, I think it's Pepsi, is promoting a different bracket challenge. Is how many games can you get wrong?
Ooh. But how do you do that?
So you fill it out the same way. You just sort of guess who you think is not going to lose each game. Or wait, is going to lose each game?
Yeah.
Right. So like, but still, it still works the same way, especially in the first round, because there's going to be upsets.
Yeah, the
so
first
like,
round for sure. But like then what happens when there's like...
And then I think the easiest thing to do with those is like you just take all the 16 teams and you put them in the final four, right? And you kind of work backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see like how many you could actually get wrong.
The winner will be the person that like guesses the
first round right, basically.
Backwards. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. So basically it all hinges mainly on the first round.
There's got to be a better way to do the term, like there, like some other version of a pool that isn't brackets, that mm-hmm. where you rank by point the favorites, like 1 through 4 get like a lower number, and then you just add up all of your numbers at the end of it. So like guessing, if you guessed all underdogs and they were right, you would get more points than if you guessed like UNC, but and like there's a point tally at the end of it,
yeah,
where each team gets a different point.
Yeah, right. It's yeah.
So there's a better way. The bracket sucks. I hate busted brackets, and my brackets are always busted. My bracket will be fucked today when UNC loses to fucking Wagner. Like it's just gonna be. Also, I bet. The old Tim Edwards and I always do a UNC bet at the beginning of each year. And this year, I think we got it at +4,000. And that will break that'll break our heart at some point. Because I think they're like +1,000.
I don't know. Maybe they can go.
No. They did it. They made it to the final a couple years ago. And we had like 12 grand riding on it. And we decided to let it play. And that hurts. I'll never live it down. College basketball has burned me more than any other sport in gambling.
Yeah, I think it's probably the worst one to gamble on.
Oh, God. All right, so we've got that. Do you have a favorite? Who do you like to win? Just pick one. Pick a team.
Houston.
Houston?
I'm a Houston guy with you.
Okay, good. We're both Houston.
The other ones I care about, I mean, I told you, I care about like Vermont, although I think they're playing Duke in the first round, so that's a tough matchup. Washington State, they're playing Drake, which I'm like, they'll probably lose to Drake in the first round. The only other two teams that kind of interest me, and these are from those top eight, I always kind of like them, is Creighton and Marquette.
I think Marquette's going to suck because I think the Big East sucks. Mm. I'm excited for Duquesne because they're in it for the first time in 47 years. And I love Duquesne.
Yeah, there you go.
I think New Mexico State has a fun team. That's one you got to watch out for.
Yeah. Don't they have a couple of their players?
Yeah. That's the Nepo baby squad.
Yeah, that's all right. There you go. There's another good one to root for.
Yeah. So that's another one. There's some stories out there. I'm going to go sit in a bar in an hour and try to find Duquesne and eat some wings by myself. That's my goal for today.
All right.
I don't have to start work until tomorrow, so I'm like really
enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, we have 5 minutes. Pittsburgh Steelers, free agency.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take?
On
linebackers.
I kind of like what they've been doing here a little bit, actually.
I love it.
I think it's typical.
I love it.
Steelers.
That's not typical though. They just cleaned out the cupboard. They just emptied out the cupboard, and they brought in some black quarterbacks. It's nice.
They make really smart sound decisions, and they're not overpaying.
They're
or
not
overreacting.
Paying anybody. They're not paying anybody. And like Kenny Pickett's butthurt, Kenny Pickett's just gone. We don't have to worry about him anymore. Like in one season, we got rid of Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett. We don't have to do that experiment anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see how this could go. I mean, I don't like Russ. I don't care if the Steelers are even good this year. I just like that they're
going to be good. They're always
going to
be good. They won 10 games last year. They have a competent quarterback. How are they not a legit, you know, threat in you know, at least to make the playoffs, maybe to win their division this year. Like, I don't even know where they finished.
Did they finish what?
Did they finish second or third in the division?
Third, I think. I think the Browns.
Third, which is probably a more favorable schedule for them this year. You know, like a third place schedule. You know, it usually is a little easier, kind of. You know, the following year with the teams you have to play, and so like there's things to really like about this. That like they didn't make themselves worse. I don't think anywhere. They didn't lose like a ton of free agents.
They're not. They picked up Queen, I guess, is a good guy.
He's decent. Like, there's some things about him that maybe, you know, because of wherever he was with Baltimore, but I think, you know, he probably works the same in Pittsburgh.
I think that they needed some linebacker depth. I still hold out immense hope that they pick Rattler somewhere in the second round, like, because they have a spot open for QB. I'm still a Rattler defender. And I haven't heard on any podcast anybody talk about him except Nate Tice. Well, I think Nate Tice might be the smartest person out there that no one's mm-hmm. listening to. He's mm-hmm. like, Drake May might be the best player in this draft, and no one's looking at him because we're so caught up on these other two guys. But like he thinks May is like maybe one, definitely two. And I agree with him. Drake May is fucking good. Like, his brother was good. He's like, he comes from like a sports family. Like, I think I don't think you can miss on that guy. And like, he's also like, Rattler needs to go in the fucking second round. Like, this guy, sure, he's a head case and he like had a really shitty combine because he didn't try. But he like, there's no denying like the value of getting like the number one ranked college quarterback 3 years ago in the second round. And I'm like, Nate Tice just like said this. He says the shit no one else will say because everyone else is on their take machine or like emulate, like just saying what other people are already saying. But he's like one of the only people I hear out there that's like got his own thoughts on the game.
Yeah, totally. And and everything I've been sort of watching and reading on those quarterbacks, like this, all these quarterbacks might be terrible actually. And like, they're all just overhyped. Like, this might be sort of the Zach Wilson of like 2 years ago of like drafts of quarterbacks. Like, it's not, there's also like this whole thing now. I think I had a note somewhere. I don't know where I did it, but like since like 2019 or 2020, like the draft classes have been like at least 80% have like failed more than like, you know, than like Trevor Lawrence is like one of the only few ones that's actually like considered good. Him and Brock Purdy. I think they were actually in the same draft class. So like, there's this whole thing about like, are the quarterbacks actually any good coming out of college anymore? And all these guys in this class have so many flaws to them that they just completely
no way to know if quarterbacks are good.
There's no
like,
way to
look
know.
At like Justin Fields. Like, he never had a coaching regime underneath him that cared about him. Everyone was always trying to coach for their jobs, and he was too much of a risk to put any like effort or team or receivers behind. So now he's got to like try to figure himself out in another system. Like, it's really hard for a quarterback to succeed when every team has a coach that's on the fucking, Daboll was the fucking coach of the year and now is on the fucking hot seat. Like, there's no chance for any coaches to like, just be like, I remember my friend Jimmy, his dad had coached at Sacred Heart, had a perfect record as a football coach. Then went to like the higher level and just got decimated. Then had to work his way through defensive coordinator jobs. Finally landed at South Florida with Blake Bortles or UCF. The Blake Bortles. That's how I became a Blake Bortles fan.
Oh, okay.
They did really well. He left and took the job at Rhode Island, but the stipulation of his hiring at Rhode Island was, I need to be here for at least 4 years because the players I bring in, I need to be able to turn into the players. The players that I scout,
right,
I need to develop. I'm not here to develop this other guy's players. I'll work with them, but like you have to guarantee that. He's still at Rhode Island. That was 10 fucking years ago. And like NFL coaches don't have that same leash, you know? And so quarterbacks, I think, in turn, don't get the development like Tom Brady or fucking Brock Purdy or whoever, because these coaches aren't, you know, aren't allowed to just be like have a shit season, you know?
I think most of these quarterbacks need to, what they should be doing is, I think they should be following like the Jordan Love Packers thing blueprint, is like let him sit for a year, maybe two, maybe three.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right. And do that, because I think most of these players can play, like you said, but they just need time to sort of develop, and they need, and like, you can't just force them out there because they're the number two overall pick or one or whatever. I think it's hurting them way more than anything else. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So then you like,
it's, and all these guys are going to flame out then. And then they look like they're garbage. And that's like Trey Lance,
what the fuck? That guy never even got a chance.
Yeah. I mean, as much as they say how the pro game and the college game is sort of, you know, becoming closer and closer, but that's like, you know, in style, I guess, or whatever. But like the legitimately to play the position is completely different from college to the pros. And like, you just, you're not, they're there to win, and they're not there to develop you anymore in college. And to sort of adapt to the pros now, I think is like, they need way more time than they get for like the 2.5 months in the off season that they get to sort of adjust to the pro game. And I think it's a wider gap in that sense of actually, you know, learning to play the position than it is in just actually like skill and ability.
Yeah, I agree with that. We are a little bit over time, but okay, I saw
one final thing.
Yes, here it comes. This is, I was going to give you the runway for this.
No, I'm very excited. You should be too. I think last week, the WNBA, the New York Liberty, announced that they have partnered with the local Fox 5 channel in New York. Is the official TV partner of the Liberty. So
great.
The team, all home games for the 2024 season will be broadcasted on Channel 5.
I mean, I already got all the games, but this is exciting for the rest of New York to be able to like just have it on basic television.
I think that might be the first team in the NBA or WNBA to have that kind of.
It's funny. That's like maybe that's a throwback to like local TV carrying sports teams, right?
Yeah, like, right.
Now it's like MSG Network.
Maybe the Liberty have it in Vegas. I don't know. I kind of assume they don't, but like Seattle maybe used to have it too, but it wasn't like a normal channel either. Like this is legitimately like one of the three.
Of
just the basic cable channels, you know, having all their game or like whatever game that, you know, they'll split them obviously between whatever else. But yeah, it's nice to know that they every game will be broadcast.
That's going
to
be, this is going to be the watch them come out of the woodwork season. We're going to have a lot of company in the WNBA world. Everyone's going to be a fan after this women's tournament.
For sure.
And you wanted to say goodbye to M. Emmett Walsh, who probably should have died 1,000 years ago. I think he was born dead. I literally don't care about this guy. He's disgusting to look at. I hate his teeth. I hate his face.
I can't name one movie he was in.
I can name a million. He's always a fucking, weirdly, he's from like New York, but always plays like a Southern racist. Like, I don't know. I don't like it.
Actually, he's from Vermont originally, which I just learned, but.
He's disgusting.
But yeah. Yeah, that was a
rest in peace, old gross dude. I don't care. And with that, we're over time, but it was fun. We deserve to be over because we didn't do a show last week. Tune in next week for more late Oscar takes. Chris's tea with the Tillerman corner, whatever Tillerman is, and more bullshit. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Okay, bye.